Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 239. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, and comment, as it helps me to continue to help as many coaches as I possibly can. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Gym Aware, for sponsoring this episode. I only partner with companies I believe in, and Gym Aware, just some fantastic people doing great things and applicable to our conversation today. This week, I'm joined by Justin Rothenschofer and Devin McConnell. You're both strength coaches. Devin's at UMass Lowell. Justin's at the San Diego Goals. But they've recently partnered up on writing a book called Intent, and it really gets into a lot of the questions that are going around in our profession about sports science and how we can apply it to our everyday situation. So I'm super excited to have you guys on the show, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for having us.
Thanks for having the time, Ron.
I know this is a little bit different with having two people on, which is great. But, you know, I always like to ask a question just because it's something I think young coaches need to hear, that, you know, you don't get to San Diego, you don't get to UMass Lowell, you don't go through Stanford or, you know, into the stops along the way without a journey in front of that, you know. And so rather than get into your, you know, your life story, give me which experience in your journey best defines you as a coach and why.
I think for me, the biggest thing was the time that I spent at the University of Louisville, and I spent 2.5 years there. And the first year as a professional intern, in the second year and a half as a graduate assistant. And the reason I say that was it actually got me out of the hockey world, which at the time was really scary, because that was what I knew I wanted to do, was be in the hockey world. And but it got me to opened up my eyes to a completely new way of training. And that's really what got me turned on to all the technology, because they were so ahead of the curve and ahead of the times. And the program that Tina Murray ran there was really breaking ground on a lot of the GPS, a lot of the heart rate, a lot of the bar velocity metrics, kind of getting into, honestly, a little bit of what we're going to talk about today within the subject of questionnaires and trying to find readiness scores utilizing of HRV. It really, like I said, created a foundation for me that allowed me to broaden my mind and my my education from a practical standpoint on that use of technology.
Yeah, great. Tina's probably, she's definitely in the top five, if she's not the best, you know, strength coach out there. I don't know who is. I mean, she does a fantastic job organizing her department, for sure.
I mean, without a doubt, I like I told you, it's definitely the biggest instrumental move of my career, and helped get me to where I am today.
Devin, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, every stop along the way, right, is I've learned a ton, and there's been huge influences everywhere I've been. The start of my career was at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, and as an intern, and then coming back to work a little bit before I went on to work at Stanford and now UMass Lowell. And probably, you know, my first kind of experience in strength and conditioning working for Coach Boyle really just opened my eyes to the importance of, you know, a lot of bedrock foundations for me, you know, really caring about the people that you're working with, caring about your athletes as an absolute, you know, foundation, being a lifelong learner, and the importance of continuously asking questions and not being satisfied with just, you know, what you've done in the past. Those are all things that I really learned and were ingrained in me early on at MBSC. And then, you know, moving on to Stanford, again, from the, as Justin kind of talked about on the tech side, which is where we'll kind of go today, was where I was first sort of started to be influenced by some of that stuff and learned about and started to utilize some of those things working for Brandon Marcello and really bright mind in the field. And so those experiences for me have been, absolute catalyst for me in my career.
Sure. Well, Devin, you don't go through those stops without making some mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you made and why?
Yeah. How you learned from it. Yeah, I think probably the biggest mistake I've made, and maybe I'm not too smart because I always find myself making the mistake again and having to, back myself up, but overcomplicating things is a huge mistake. And I think because I'm so eager always to learn and to progress and to find a better way, I can, certainly can let that, run away a little bit. And I find myself having to slow down a little bit from time to time and say, hey, you know what? This is a little too complicated. Let's back it up. Let's stick with the basics. So that's probably one of the biggest things that, in my career that I've learned, I continue to learn, and is a challenge for me just because I'm always trying to push the envelope a little bit, but sometimes, slowing down and paying attention to the basics is a really valuable lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin.
I think the biggest thing is trying to, find the answers all the time. Not being okay with just accepting things that maybe just is how it is. We're working with humans and not robots. And a lot of times we're working with kids from the ages of, I say kids, but young men and women from the ages of 18 to, in my case, 40. And there's a lot of things going on in those people's lives besides sport, although at the professional level, it is what they do. But there's a lot of things going on, both on the family side and from a stress side, in ways that we don't even understand, whether they're at the rink or the field or the pitch or wherever they're at. There's a lot going on. It's a very loaded question that we really have to kind of accept and identify that them coming and seeing us is not the biggest part of their day, potentially. Whereas for us, it might be. And that's, I think, the biggest thing is accepting or understanding that there's other reasons why certain things are happening. And really that led us to, led Devin and I to really kind of build what we have today in what we call intent. I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but it allowed us to, like Devin said, simplify things and kind of eliminate some of that error that you might find of trying to dig into the numbers. You say, why is this happening? I have to have an end result and be able to have a conclusion from something which just might not be possible.
Yeah, you guys alluded to it a couple of times with the book, and I'm a firm believer as strength and conditioning coaches that every one of us have a book in us, on something. And on a lot of ways, I feel almost that we're obligated because we're such a young profession that we have the responsibility to put that stuff down on paper so future generations can read and follow and chronicle the development of our profession, and so I want to first congratulate you guys on putting pen to paper and coming up with a great resource for coaches and a resource for our profession. I also want to dig into it and just kind of find out what were some of the motivations behind the book. Why tackle this in the first place?
Yeah, I think the backstory is kind of basically it took us about a year to kind of put the whole thing together, but it started. Justin and I both were speaking at an NSCA clinic out in Colorado Springs, and more or less we're talking about some of the same stuff from a sports science standpoint and how we utilize that in our programs. And we got to talking afterwards and said, we've sort of organically come to a lot of the same conclusions and do some of the same stuff. And we're also getting the same questions from people. Every time we'll speak about these things, we get the same questions from the audience. Okay, I have this information or I have this tool. What do I do with it? And we both said, well, we've kind of been doing this for the last, 10 or 12 years. Why don't we put some of this down on paper and maybe we can help some other people not make all the mistakes that we made. And that's kind of the backstory of the book. And why we decided to kind of tackle this. Because like you said, I think you're right. I think all of us have a story. We have a book in us. But Justin and I kind of found that we had a lot of the same experiences, and we thought we could share some of that that wisdom, I guess, just from making a lot of mistakes over the last decade.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think sometimes, I mean, that's, you know, that's what you run into when we talk specifically technology is, or strength and conditioning for that matter, where everything is a tool. And unless you know how to utilize the tool and appreciate the tool and respect the tool, it doesn't really have a place for you in your program. And you know, this time of year when, you know, combine prep is going and there's all these exciting exercises, you know, people just look and see, and then they throw it in the program and they fail because they don't really understand the why behind it or the principles behind it. And so I think, you know, I would assume that's how you guys kind of came to the conclusion with intent that, you know, there's not a system that really exists, for these coaches to take these tools, these technology pieces of, you know, pieces of technology tools and apply them to their situation. So what were some of the biggest questions that you received? And then, what were some of those answers to a lack of a system and things along those lines?
For sure. So a lot of times it got into actual specifics of certain pieces of technology, and it was always different. So for heart rate or GPS, it was always, okay, so what do you want their heart rate to get to on a given day? Or at what point does their, when their heart rate hits as a certain area, should we shut them down? Or how much distance is usually being covered in the sport of basketball or football or hockey? And so it really started to like get, I really started to understand, you know what, like people honestly get overwhelmed with a lot of this. They don't know what they're looking at or really what the tool is all about, because Devin and I were getting individual practice loading for individual drills, and within our system we were creating, our coaches were using that to program their practices, making sure that overall loading per day was where it needed to be in the big picture. From a velocity standpoint, obviously Brian Mann's done a phenomenal job in getting information out there and started to clear that muddy water. But even trying to look at a readiness score for the day and say, okay, well, how do I know where their bar velocity needs to be based upon their readiness for the day? How do I make changes on the go to a program that I already have done? How do I know that I'm actually getting the stimulus out of the player that we need? A lot of information came down to actually trusting what was going on. And people quite often didn't trust themselves based upon their conclusions. And a lot of that stemmed from not having enough experience with it, not having enough information out there about it. Because honestly, what I think happened was people get this tool or these series of tools, and it's all exciting. You're either at a trade show or at a conference, or you heard about it from another colleague, or you saw it through some type of social media feed, and you started to look into it. You got all excited. You saw it on the web. It kind of outlined how you use it, what features it has, and then all of a sudden it's sitting there in your lap, and the user or the person running it is now you, and it's like, oh my God, what has happened? And you don't know where to go from there. And that's, I think, what Devin and I got so continually and so often. And from our presentations, we were just like, you know what? There's a real need to help educate and simplify. Devin touched on this term already. Simplify this complicated and convoluted world of technology and sports and strength and conditioning, because at the end of the day, it has to be kept simple, because if it's not, it's overcomplicated, and implementing it in a team setting, even in a personal training private setting, becomes so incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think even traveling the world, where some around the world that may be even better at implementing and letting technology or science drive practice and training, you know, than even us in the U.S. But they still have the same questions, you know, what we should be looking for, what's that minimum effective dose and of technology or tools or whatever. You guys obviously see the pain point there and have, you know, come up with a solution, you know, what is the answer? What's the system? What, you know, should we be looking at, you know, a battery of physical tests with some readiness, you know, information with some recovery information, or what should we be going and tracking at this point?
Well, we've actually developed a software system that takes our book, takes intent, what we've outlined from building a holistic system, and basically put that into a cloud-based software system that is, again, really simplifies the process of understanding basic readiness data, things as simple as, it could be as simple as resting heart rate, a vertical jump test for power output, you know, central nervous system output, subjective questionnaire. And basically what happens is the individual, the athlete, plugs that basic data in, and with our algorithms, it spits out and says, okay, this is what you should do based on the tools that you have. If you have bar velocity tools, if you have heart rate tools, these are the speed zones that you should stay in, because today you're firing on all cylinders, or today you're a little bit little sluggish. We need to back off, keep your heart rate in this area for most of practice or most of training. So basically what we've done is taken that idea out of the book and put it into a software-based system called Intent that really, again, tries to simplify that for coaches so that they don't have to get bogged down with all the minutiae and the details of every single data point and what do I look at. Now it's really simplified, and it's an easy sort of plug-and-play system that allows people to get to work with the real work of coaching and not be bogged down by all the data.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, obviously becomes the problem, is that if you allow it to be intrusive, it takes away from the coaching or the art of coaching or things along those lines. Let's back up just a minute and talk a little bit about what that holistic system looks like. What should we be looking at?
So I think quite often, another question that Devin and I got asked all the time is, well, I just bought a heart rate monitoring system. How is this going to cover every aspect of things that I'm looking at? And Devin and I both agree, and I think a lot of others would agree as well, is there's not one piece of technology, there's not one item that is going to be your end-all answer. You can't get a Tendo or a gym or a unit and say, okay, this is going to change and be utilized for every single thing that I do in the weight room. Everything that I am doing from a heart rate monitoring, or it is going to take over everything. That you have to look at every single aspect, because our bodies are made up of both our brain and our central nervous system, and then our peripheral nervous system, the utilization of our muscles. So you have to take that into consideration and identify as many different tools as you can, from a resting heart rate to a HRV score to a subjective questionnaire, because sometimes the subjective questionnaire is the most important information that you're getting, because it's how the athlete perceives themselves.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's all about perception. If an athlete feels like they cannot do something on a given day, that very well may be true, no matter what other data is telling us. They may just feel that way because, like I said, they have lives outside, things that are going on that may be affecting them. So there's that aspect. There's the hydrational aspect. There's the nutritional aspect. There's their central nervous system in terms of reaction. How well are they primed and ready to go? Or is there some residual fatigue sitting there that we have to adjust for on the day? Did we just come from a heavy lower body day? Well, we're probably going to have some type of residual effect over the next couple of days that is going to prevent optimal performance. So that's all. That's kind of the holistic system we're looking at from an overall standpoint, that there's not just one direction we have to dive into. We have to pull in from a series of others.
Yeah, I think that, I agree with that. You mentioned earlier with the trust factor, and the coaches buying in and athletes buying in, and then you buying into the technology. With so much technology being algorithm based, you have an opportunity there for that algorithm to be off. You have an opportunity for the process to not be fully followed by the athlete or by the coach. How do you protect against that trust factor in what you're doing and knowing that it's giving you an appropriate response?
I think we've used it for so long and have seen it with a variety of athletes, a variety of ages of athletes, a variety of sports, and have become really comfortable with the data that we see. And it's given us continual consistencies and with an accuracy that we agree with. So where this trust comes from is us knowing and being able to see from an athlete what's going on in the moment, because maybe we're working with a larger team, we're not able to make that change right away. But the next day they come back, man, I needed that day. I needed to be able to, I needed that recovery ride instead of the tempos or the intervals that we had going, or I needed that lighter lower body day to be able to really get my legs back under me today. And now I'm flying and hitting PRs or having peak performances on a Friday or a Saturday after an altered Tuesday. So there's things and experiences and moments that have really created validation within practical experience, but also the continual feedback and the utilization and development of this over the last 3 or 4 years of the system, and using it in our own field that has really helped change it.
I think a lot of coaches, give the response when talking about trying to implement technology into their programs that, they don't want to either reward the athlete for bad decisions outside of the weight room by reducing training, or are concerned about the how the data was collected, or the algorithm or whatever. What is your guys' recommendation on how to handle, let's say an athlete's been good all week and all of a sudden they come in bad and it's, are you cutting training that day, or are you going to slow play it? Or are you going to, let it go a day or two before you make an adjustment?
Honestly, a lot of it, and it sounds unfortunate sometimes, but it really depends on the athlete. You're going to start to understand your athletes, and this is where I said right at the very beginning that we're not working with robots; we're working with people. And you, I don't care what piece of technology you have, I don't care how great the system is, if you cannot have the art of coaching, if you're not, don't treat everybody as a person. And know that you're working with people, you're probably going to fail, because at the end of the day, great people make a great product, and that's really what it's all about, is understanding your athletes, understanding your coaches. So to answer your question, it really depends on the athlete. There's certain athletes that will come in and try and cut corners every now and then, obviously depending on your culture and how that's set in, but there's kids that you kind of have to drag really good performances out of, and then there's other athletes who are very intrinsically motivated that want to give you their best foot forward every single day, and that's really going to be the ultimate deciding factor on it, is who are you working with? What athlete is are you working with, and what needs to be done? Because if you have a guy that is running hot, is very intrinsically motivated, is always ready to go, and you're usually having to pull the reins back on him, and he comes in and he's like, "Man, I'm in one today." That tells you something. But then if you have another athlete that comes in and tells you they're in one 3 days a week, well, there's something else going on there.
Right. Right. You know, with the book, you know, what do you hope, you know, happens? What do you want coaches to get out of it? What's the action that you want them to take?
The biggest thing with the book is that we want to educate coaches. We want to educate both strength coaches, and sport coaches for that matter. And arm our strength and conditioning coaches within our field with information of how to actually affect your program on a day-to-day basis. If you're just gathering data on a day-to-day basis and it's not having an actual impact on day-to-day decisions in your within your sport and within your team setting, what is the purpose of it? If you're continually gathering data and maybe doing everything the right way, but your coach has no idea that you're doing it, or your players have no idea that you're doing it, again, what is the exact purpose of it? I believe it needs to be, again, holistic in nature, where everything that's going on the playing field, everything that's going on in the weight room, everything that's going on in an athlete's free time, whether that's through the college setting and in school, or the professional setting and in their private lives, that it has some type of effect on decisions that are made. It doesn't have to run everything. I understand that depending on your coach and who you're at, there's certain buy-in, certain levels, certain things that they're going to like, that they're not going to like, but it can still be an added benefit to assist them in making decisions that they do. And from a day-to-day basis, I think what our book wants to do is educate and provide a system and confidence within that system to be able to go to athletes, go to coaches, and talk educatedly and confidently about what you are collecting or what you're seeing as a strength coach, and have them applied to that day-to-day nature, both in the weight room and on the field of play.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, man, we end a show with some resources, and it looks like we had a little bit of technical difficulties with Devin, but give us your piece, your best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Honestly, it's make yourself as well-rounded as possible. Do not pigeonhole yourself. Allow yourself to be to see every opportunity, whether it's a failure or a success, as a moment of growth and a moment of learning. Nothing that happens to you is what ultimately defines you. There's not one moment that you're like, "Oh yeah, I can't do that anymore. I'm a failure." Everything is a learning opportunity. Everything is every failure or success is an opportunity to grow. And I think resiliency is the biggest word, because in our field, whether you're in the pro setting or the college setting, everybody is expendable, and there's something to be said for that resiliency. And no matter how many times you're said no to, or how many times you're you're hired, you're fired, something doesn't work or turn out the way that you wanted it, everything is going to lead you to another opportunity. And the more marketable you can make yourself, the more passionate you can be about what you do, the greater the next opportunity is going to become. Because windows close all the time, but those windows often lead to bigger doors.
Yeah, agreed. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
Honestly, the biggest one that I just finished reading actually is, I'll hold it up here, I'll give a little plug. It's called The Happiness Project.
Yes.
And it's something that's really defined my life and changed my life in the way that I, the perspective in which the way I see things. And quite often within our field as well, we're expected to be the first ones at the facility and the last ones to leave, and certain things are just expected. And within the Happiness Project, it really allows us to take control of our own lives and our own happiness, actually, and to fill it with what makes us happy on a day-to-day basis. And by embracing everything that happens to us, and it really changed my perspective on the day-to-day operations of everything, and honestly day-to-day choices. And so the Happiness Project was, and the way it's set up, it's really cool. It gives you some actionary steps, 12 actionary steps. So it gives you one step every single month to work through, and a goal. And it was really instrumental in changing my outlook and the way that I felt about day-to-day life, really, and was able to find overall happiness and everything.
Well, that's awesome. An app and a website?
Honestly, the app that I've been just all over lately has been, I don't know if you've heard of Jocku, but it's a timing device that it's a little wrist unit, and their app utilizes sensory movement. So you have this little wrist unit on, and when you hit start, your athlete is obviously in the stop position, and the first motion that they make, it starts the clock, and then there's a camera that catches them at the moment that they cross through that that beam, and it gives you a time. So if you're measuring a 10-yard sprint, if you're measuring a 5:10:5, if you're measuring a 40-yard sprint, if you're using it on the ice, on the court, whatever. If you're wanting to measure reaction ability of a quarterback, you can hit start at the moment it hears a beep. How fast he delivers the ball, it gives you reaction time there. So it's actually kind of neat in terms of how it works.
Yeah, I have to check that one out.
Yeah, Jocku, Jawku. And then the website is definitely a place that I've pulled a lot of really good resource from. Has been hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. Just the quality of information that they put up there, the variants, although it is called hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, there's a lot of very highly educated coaches that are involved there, and the information stems and the topics stem right across the board. So it's definitely a great resource.
Well, that's some good ones, man. Well, like I said in the beginning, you know, I really, I'm a big fan of anybody that puts the incredible amount of time that goes into producing a resource, whether it be a podcast, a book, articles, or whatever it may be. But I think as coaches, we have an obligation to do that. And really, really respect what you guys have done, putting out a great resource, putting out a system and a process that may work for many, or it'd be something that could be refined for somebody in their own personal situation. But you guys doing that is big time, and really appreciate that from all of us that are listening to this episode, as well as myself as just somebody that tries to do the same thing. So thanks so much, man.
No, thank you so much for having us on. It was the platform that you give coaches is exemplary, and it's great that you do this, and the information is fantastic. I think I've listened to 238 of your episodes, so it's been it's always great, and the people you have on, the way you run it, what you've brought to the field has been top notch. So it's a pleasure to be on.
Appreciate that. Quick before we go, where can people go to get the book, and where can they go for the software?
Absolutely. So our book's actually on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, It's available on iBooks and Kindle. If you want not a soft cover version, but an ebook. And so any of those areas can get it there. And then the software is intent-us.com, and all the information is there as well on how to contact Evan and I. There's a couple links to Amazon on there, and then as well as the software. So that's intent-us.com, and then the book can be found at any major retailer that you're looking at, both in soft cover and ebook.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you guys.
No, thank you so much. Like I said, it's a privilege to be on here, and thank you for everything you do as well.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.